exclusively on Paramount Plus. Get ready.
Vamanos!
To explore like never before.
Swiper, no swiping!
Oh, man!
Swing into action.
We need your help.
Woohoo!
Yay!
With a girl who put adventure on the map.
I don't think I can do it, Dora.
I'll protect you, Boots. Together, we got this.
Todos juntos!
Dora, the brand new series. Stream with your family now, exclusively on Paramount Plus.
Should the show continue? Would the show continue? What is the show? Who are we? You know, all of those themes are in the season. And then just some really silly, funny stuff.
Welcome to EW's Binge Community, where we're doing a deep dive of the NBC cult classic comedy. I'm Derek Lawrence.
And I'm Chancellor Agard.
Today we've reached the end of the road and we'll be talking about the sixth and final season of Community. On this episode, we're thrilled to be joined by one of our favorite Greendale alums, Gillian Jacobs, who played the marvelous Britta Perry. But before getting into that fun conversation, Chance, how are you feeling now that we're at season six?
I don't want it to end. I just want to go back to the beginning again, you know?
Is there a way to do a re-binge of the binge? Like, I don't know, maybe...
We have to record a DVD commentary of the commentary now,
Yeah, and we could... I mean, there's so many other timelines. We could definitely figure a way to get on maybe not the darkest timeline, but we can find, like, a medium timeline.
Aren't we
timeline.
There already, though?
That's true. That is a good point. Is this the darkest timeline?
Sorry, easy joke.
Yeah, yikes. Well, yeah, for you, just before we get to Gillian, season six... what stands out for you or kind of or what were you interested in with what we talked to Gillian about?
I remember when this came out, like watching it on Yahoo screen, which was a weird experience. but I think rewatching it now, the thing that stands out to me now is sort of how it very much is about like endings and accepting the uncertainty of the future and also growing up, which feels very much apropos since this was the show's last season.
It's funny, you bring up the Yahoo screen part of this, you know, so it gets canceled after season five on NBC and Yahoo screen picks it up to at least get us to the first part of the hashtag six seasons in a movie. And yeah, I remember like going to Yahoo screen every Tuesday or whatever, whenever they would load it and watching it on there. And rewatching these episodes, I kind of was like, did I watch all of these in the moment? I was like, did I miss a Tuesday going to yahooscreen.com and seeing some of these episodes? Because some of them felt kind of new to me a bit. I don't know. Did you have that?
I definitely did not remember watching Grifting 101. Like,
yeah.
All the other ones I remembered to some extent, but that one was the first one I was like, what is this?
Yeah, and that's one we'll get into in our chat later on, because I don't know if I remember watching that as well, but I'm glad that I did now because I really enjoyed it. So now let's go to our interview with Gillian Jacobs, but stay tuned after that for me and Chance to go in depth on season six as a whole.
As a reminder, this interview was recorded via Zoom because of the quarantine.
Today, we're talking season six, and we're joined by one of our favorite Greendale alums, Gillian Jacobs, who played Britta.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, so obviously, like I said, we're doing this binge of Community for two reasons. A, we're all stuck inside during this weird time and looking for things to watch. And thankfully, and coincidentally, at the same time, Community landed on Netflix. So have you already noticed like a resurgence in fans talking about the show?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think a ton of people are watching the show. Some people are rewatching it, and hopefully new people are finding it too.
Since it went up on Netflix, have you had a chance to go back through yet?
I watched a bunch of season six in anticipation of us talking today, and it was really, really fun. I think it's been like 5 years since we shot that season. You know, I tend to think that I remember everything, but I'm realizing that I've forgotten a lot of stuff, so it was really fun to go back and watch it again because I haven't really seen it since it came out.
Did you have a big takeaway after kind of rewatching some of season six? Maybe something you forgot or something that kind of stuck with you now rewatching it?
It's a little melancholy, season six, you know, and I really feel for Abed watching it. But I also think it's really funny. I think that there's some really, really funny stuff in season six. I think that Jim Rash is like kind of the star of season six, at least the episodes I watch, like Dean Pelton and Saving the School and What is the School and Should it Continue and Can it Continue? You know, once again, it's grappling with all sort of the meta themes of what it was like for us to be doing the sixth season on a new platform with cast members who had left, and should the show continue? Would the show continue? What is the show? Who are we? You know, all of those themes are in the season, and then just some really silly, funny stuff. And I think looking back, realizing that like not being on network television anymore allowed us to just do what really whatever.
You mentioned how the sixth season, there were several cast members had departed, new casters joined with Patrick Brewster and Keith David. And for you, what was it like for you and the rest of the cast to sort of process, I guess, how much the show had changed, both mm-hmm. the show itself and also like losing so many original cast members as seasons went on?
I think we got used to change by that point because it'd been going on for several seasons, whether it was Dan leaving and coming back or cast members leaving. You know, it was even, I think, surreal for us because we shot the first five seasons at Paramount on the same stages. And then because we got canceled by NBC and brought back by Yahoo so late in the game, we lost our stages at Paramount. And so we were shooting at a completely different place, which is why you don't see those classic shots of us exiting the library anymore, because we didn't have the ability to shoot that because we were in a basement. We were shooting in the basement of what had been a parking garage that was converted into sound stages. And we really realized that the first time we used smoke in a scene and it set off all the fire alarms and we had to evacuate. And we're like, we are shooting in a basement, and this feels very community. But we could shoot, I don't know if you noticed, there were a big increase in the number of scenes in parking garages, because there's a parking garage right by us. So we gained some things.
I heard there was no paintball. I heard it's banned.
Well, you can't believe everything you hear.
Okay, you just asked if I heard something, and now you're invalidating the whole...
Yeah, it gave us the parking garage, but it also gave us the bar that Britta worked at.
Kind
of was like a new hangout.
Yes.
Which I liked Britta like becoming a bartender, and she like kind of fell back into being like a therapist for these people, mm-hmm. you know, like a bartender does. Kind of what did you like about seeing her in that role?
Well, it was her slightly more functional. Like, I feel like people grew up just a little bit in season six, so I like that she was capable of holding a job.
Obviously, like, Britta, I would say more than any other character, like, evolved so much throughout the run. Really, like, I felt like they, which I think was a lot of credit to like, you and the writers, right? They kind of saw, like, how you played the character and what you could do and kind of went towards that. And, like, Britta just became this totally different person. Not different person, but, like, a lot different than maybe she was set up to be in the pilot in the original kind of, like, story. What did you mm-hmm. most like about the evolution of that character?
That's another thing I noticed when I was watching season six again is, like, I'm really having fun as a performer, which is like a weird thing to comment on your own performance, but I see like how goofy I am, and I think when I started the show the character was not like that, but also as an actor I felt the least experienced in terms of comedy. You know, I had not really done comedy ever before the show. And I'm in scenes with Donald and Jim Rash and, you know, all these people who were incredible. So I think I was very intimidated by it early on. And I would get kind of nervous if they gave me a big set piece to do. Like, I remember I had to do where I, like, try and steal a frog in one of the early seasons. And I was really nervous shooting that scene because I didn't really know how to do physical comedy or make this bit work, and I was by myself. But I watched the sixth season and I'm like, oh, by that time I'm just having fun and I'm doing weird line readings and I'm doing like goofy physicality, and like sometimes it's just in like my reaction shots or the backs of scenes. At one point I remembered I improvised a line where I'm with Honda, my boyfriend Honda, and we're talking about Natalie's freezing, and I said, like, oh, I hallucinated a music video in Elroy's RV one time, and that was just, like, you know, I think I just felt more free by the end of the series.
It's Elroy's favorite band, too. I once hallucinated one of their music videos in his RV.
That's weird.
So that's part of the evolution of the character, and then I think also the writers just realizing that maybe she was more fun as a character in that way.
You mentioned Honda, your boyfriend, who was previously Subway. I guess, how did you feel about their, again, very weird dynamic?
Yeah, it's interesting to watch Britta completely sell out her principles for love. As an anarchist, I'm then becoming a corporate shill. But I think that it's fun. I think it's always just fun, you know, when you have a character that people liked and you can bring it back in a smart, fun way. And I think we needed that Honda money. For something that was a real necessity for us as a show, I think Dan did it in such a brilliant way that I think the fans actually didn't mind whether it was the KFC chicken bus somewhere here, the Honda. I felt like Dan was the perfect person, you know, to tackle that kind of like corporate sponsorship, product integration. And I mean, kudos to those companies too, because they let him get away with a lot.
One of the big arcs of season six for Britta is being reunited with her parents, mm-hmm. Which played by Leslie Ann Warren and Martin Mull. And they were so great. And it was such an interesting dynamic between the three of them. What did you like about getting to explore that side of Britta and kind of her fractured relationship with her parents?
I mean, it explains a lot. You know, what is she really rebelling against? It turns out it's those two who are, you know, at this point in their lives, very nice and supportive, but clearly, you know, weren't the parents that she wanted them to be when she was younger. But she, at this point, can't let go of it. And they've kind of evolved and moved on, and she's really the one that's stuck. So I think all the characters on Community, obviously, are sort of frozen at some developmental age, or they wouldn't be there. No, it makes sense to me that she would be rebelling against nothing, that they were like perfectly nice people who really loved her and just wanted to support her. And it does make sense how she'd been able to pay for classes or rent up until that point. All those classic questions of a sitcom of like, how does she keep affording all those new leather jackets? Like, why? She seemingly has an endless wardrobe, always new shirts. So I guess it makes sense that her parents were secretly footing the bill.
One of my favorite storylines or kind of like little bits in season six was Britta kind of tricking Abed into letting her have a party. Uh-huh. And it was interesting, not just because of the Britta Abed of it, but like also the Britta Annie part of it, mm-hmm. Which is like a relationship that wasn't necessarily like one of the most spotlighted relationships on the show, but when it was, I thought you guys always did a great job showing that friendship. What did you always like about when you guys did kind of spotlight those two together?
Well, I really liked season six too, because it didn't feel like it was us fighting over Jeff. I love when you can find a way for like Britta and Annie to be in conflict or have a relationship or develop a friendship, and it's not like fighting over a guy.
What I always appreciated was that they never fully made that some love triangle, right? Like, yeah. I felt like Britta and Annie both had their own separate thing happen with Jeff. And the show never pitted them against each other. Maybe there was like a moment of like jealousy or sadness, but like nothing, anything catty or anything like that. Did you appreciate kind of the direction that they took with that and didn't go the traditional route maybe?
Yes. Yes. I think that, you know, there's far more interesting storylines than the two of them fighting over a guy. So I loved any time Community subverted the normal expectations for what a TV show would do with a group of people.
I guess, like, looking back at the final season for you, I mean, are there any particular episodes that stand out or that were particularly memorable shooting experiences for you?
Well, I just watched this morning the, like, fake sci-fi movie.
He's a spy!
I'm an evil spy!
Let's go, he's a spy!
Look, that's a spy.
There you went with it.
Where we're trying to like cut the footage of Chang into, and I think we all just had so much fun shooting that. You know, our production designers and our prop department deserve so much credit, because look at the world that they would build every week, and I thought it was just amazing, and I think you can see in our performances how much fun we were having. I love Portuguese Gremlins, a tag that I'm not even in. But that was really just like the beauty, I think, of this sixth season and doing it for Yahoo was that they let Rob Schraub make a trailer for a fake movie, which is like, I think, something that Rob Schraub does unlike any other. And as I've been sort of cleaning up my house, I found he made like fake VHS covers for Portuguese Gremlins. So I have my Portuguese Gremlins VHS case, which I really cherish.
Que é isto?
Uma grande responsabilidade. Este magreto tem muitas traições.
There are so many. I think like we all kind of the hours shooting that RV episode were truly insane. And that's why I think my performance as Space Elder Britta may have an extra twinge of, I don't know what you want to call it, because I think it was like 5 a.m. when we shot that, and I was so tired that, you know, those were the moments that were kind of difficult at the time, but really bonded us as a group, and so, you know, I think it, even the things that were really difficult to do, we look back as moments that kind of brought us all together.
It felt fitting that you guys kind of towards the end of the year did one final paintball episode. What did you always enjoy about getting to do those paintball episodes?
You know, it was fun, I think, for all of us to dabble in different genres. And it felt like we were really pulling something off every time that we weren't quite sure if we could do, given the constraints of time and budget and everything. And so it always just felt like an accomplishment. And then obviously the gratification that, you know, the audience seemed to really like those episodes too.
I don't know how many men you have left in your game, but if you're leaving this room, it needs to be a small army.
Okay.
I agree.
I get like sad too a little bit watching the sixth season, knowing that, you know, Richard Erdman has passed away since we wrapped, and I loved him and Leonard, and so even just like the vampire at the end of the fake space movie has like some, you know, a little sadness to it now that he's passed. But yeah, I don't know, it's like all the feelings, you feel all the feelings for this show that on the surface is, you know, could have been just another sitcom, but somehow it became something else.
As you said, like beneath the surface though, there is like a lot of emotion going on in all these stories. I think that really comes through for me whenever I rewatch the series finale, which I think is great. Just because, again, as you mentioned as well, like you guys were used to change at this point, and that episode's very much about sort of accepting change. And I guess for you guys shooting that series finale, how did you guys feel? Did you guys feel like you were actually finally at the true end of something?
Yes, but no, because look at us. We're still like I said, we're still talking about this show. You know, there's the prophecy of the hashtag that has yet to be fulfilled. Will it ever really be over? Is there an end? Our contracts were all up at the end of the sixth season, but there was a moment in time in which I think Yahoo wanted to do more. So it was like, is it over? Is it not? We haven't done the movie. Does anybody want to do the movie? Will the movie ever, I mean, will it ever be over? I think the thing is that thankfully we as a cast really did love each other, and we loved spending time together, and that makes it feel like, you know, a real gem of experience no matter the difficulties and whatever else happens, that we got to experience that period of time together. And I think that's what the series finale is about too.
You guys doing an unauthorized finale in here? Not cool.
Abed, I know it gives you comfort to see everything through that meta lens, but we were just saying goodbye to the room
for season 6. Season 7, who knows? It's out of our hands. Too many variables.
Cool.
kind of wrapping up, I mean, you mentioned, I mean, it's the whole thing is six seasons in a movie. I mean, now that, you know, we're, this is season six, so we got to that half of it. We checked off that part of it. A movie, is that something, I mean, obviously you guys get asked about it all the time. And like, as an actor, you can't obviously do it until there's like a script and someone wants to make it. But like, is that something that you and the cast and like the crew talk about and hope that one day can happen?
I think we're all down for it. Yeah. I mean, I think that we would all be happy to do the movie. It just requires a script and a budget. So I think if there was a movie, we would all do it. I don't want to speak for everyone. I would do the movie. Absolutely. You know, I feel very lucky to have gotten that pilot. I mean, like, I get so sentimental when I talk about this stuff because, you know, for all of us, this could have, you know, gone a different way. I could have not gotten the part. I mean, you know, I think it was a real special combination of people and time. So, I have props from Community in my house. Do you want to see some?
Oh, please.
Yes, please.
So okay. At one point, I think they thought we were canceled and, one of the producers gave me props that he probably should not have given me, which these are three of them. They were in Troy and Ovid's apartment and they sat on a shelf. I've got them. I have the sombrero that I put on the frog. And then I also have the Michael Haggins, who wrote Daybreak, autographed CDs for all of and I want to, like, you know, auction these for charity. I feel like it'd be a great moment in time to raise some money. So
yeah, absolutely.
You guys, I know Entertainment Weekly is the premier prop auction site on the web. So if you guys could help me set that up, I've got some things. I don't know. I feel like, you know, they'll bring people a lot of joy. I've had this barrel for a number of years. I think I'm ready to give it a new home.
Hey, Fidelity. What's it cost to invest with the Fidelity app?
Start with as little as $1 with no account fees or trade commissions on U.S. stocks and ETFs.
That's music to my ears.
I can only talk.
Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Zero account fees apply to retail brokerage accounts only. $0 commission applies to online U.S. equity trades and ETFs and retail Fidelity accounts. Sell order assessment fee not included. Some account types and securities excluded. Details at fidelity.com/commissions. Fidelity Brokerage Services LLC, member NYSE SIPC.
Thank you so much to Gillian for joining us. Chance, now this is a question, you know, with each episode, each season, I've been putting to you and the guests, when thinking of that specific season, what comes to mind first? So with season six, where does that have you going?
I think two places, and the second place we'll get to later, which is the finale. But the first thing, I guess, is the addition of Pat Brewster and Keith David, who I think, when I rewatched them, I was surprised by how well they fit into the show as new additions, coming in to fill voids left by Yvette Nicole Brown and Donald and Chevy Chase. And by the end of the season, like, in the finale, like, when Elroy leaves, he's like, maybe I'll be back. I don't know. Probably not. It's sort of like, well, I kind of hope he comes back, you know? Like, because Elroy was fun. So was Frankie. And also, I think it was really cool that they were very much aware that Frankie was very similar to several of the characters already, and being aware of that, I guess.
Yeah, I also enjoyed that. I don't know if it was coincidence or it was done on purpose, but the fact that both of them had technically already been a part of Community before joining, both those actors. Paige Brewster had appeared on, I think it was a season three episode. She was like
season five.
Was it season five? She was the head of the IT department. And then they even make a joke at one point in season six, being like, yeah, I keep emailing the head of IT, but I just keep getting bounce backs or something like that. And then Keith David had narrated. So it kind of was funny that they both ended up on the show. And like you said, yeah, they both seamlessly fit in, which is like not always the case in like a aging comedy where you bring in new people. Like my roommate was watching like That 70s Show, and like in the last season of that, they tried to bring in a new character to like basically replace Topher Grace. And it like, did not go well. Yeah. So the fact that they were able to do that here and do it so successfully. Yeah, exactly. There you go. There you go. So that was pretty seamless here.
Dean Belton, I know how susceptible you are to advertising.
Would you say I'm a level 7 susceptible?
No, because why would I? Because that's Moon Man talk.
What was your favorite episode of the season? I mean, there's some really good ones, and for me, there was a lot of options. So what to you stood out as like the best episode?
I feel like you know mine already.
Oh, yeah.
The finale. So I guess I'm guessing yours is not the finale, so we can do yours first, and then chronologically and get to the finale, I think.
Yeah, so for me, you could easily go with the finale, and when you told me you were going to go with the finale, I could have stuck with you. But I decided to go with what you mentioned in the intro, which was Grifting 101.
My name is Professor Roger Del Savo, for the time being. For I use many a pseudonym, such as Jeff Goulash, Philip Switch, or Baz Ravish, for I am a grifter.
Which was just a weird episode, like kind of bananas, like kind of funny that they did this at like, they only had a few episodes left in their whole, probably in their show's entire run, and they knew it. And they do this whole just grifting bit. And Matt Berry, who plays kind of the professional grifter, Professor DeSalvo, he was just so good in this. And I loved, I always like when Britta comes out on top, and, you know, Britta ends up kind of being the mastermind and the key to this whole thing. And then just them chanting at the end, like grift, 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 and just celebrating when they pulled off the grift.
I was grifted. Why are you even here? Who called you?
Nobody. I take macrame after work. They know that. Sorry you got grifted. Let me know if you want to press charges and if you could think of what those would be.
I thought it was perfect. And then this is something I think we've talked about with a few people, but the end tags just got so weird in season 6. And this one was like Ridley. This guy Ridley who saved Jeff Jeff saved him at the gym one time. And now Jeff is just like making him do all these things for him. It's just like weird. And like there was almost like these little vignettes. They were like, because they weren't just like the normal tags length from like the first few seasons. They were like 3 minutes.
Yeah.
So for you, you mentioned your favorite episode is the finale.
I would say, yeah, I think the episode I think about like quite a bit, even when I'm not thinking about Community, but like just as an episode of Devonline, I love the way that it like, I mean, the Community has many times before had to craft these finales that work as both season and series finales. I think this one is the best of them all. In fact, that it works really well as a series finale. And I feel a lot of closure with the group and with the school. At the same time, though, like, they could easily find a way to, like, come back to Greendale or come back, at least come back to, like, that bar where they end if we ever get that movie.
Things have a certain structure to them, you know? If we stray from it, we're weird. If we stick to it, we're boring.
Yeah, but isn't that more about the shape of your brain, Abed? I mean, no offense or anything, but isn't the shape of your brain kind of f***ed up?
What's your season 7 pitch?
My pitch for your fall semester at Greendale is that everyone is nice and has fun and grows together.
Shirley or Elroy?
See, that's racist.
As I mentioned at the top of this, I think a lot of things I think about this season are again about sort of the episodes where it's sort of the group dealing with change and having to move on and let things go. In particular, there is the episode where they make the terrible sci-fi movie, which ends up boiling down to Jeff's fear of everyone growing up and leaving him, which comes back in the finale. And then also in the RV episode as well, it's sort of which is an okay episode, but the whole metaphor, the symbol of the hand is to sort of keep a loose grip on things and not to hold on to things too tightly or too loosely. And I think that ends up being paid off here in this finale as like Jeff again is sort of struggling with accepting that all the people are going to move on without him and that he has more of his life behind him than ahead of him at this point. And then the other characters are sort of dealing with the sort of uncertainty of their futures because they, on the other hand, they're all still young. And I just, that episode, I remember watching that, like, that episode came out, I think it was when I graduated grad school. And so it was just like weird to watch that and be in that place where I too was just like, oh, what's going to happen next, you know? So.
Yeah. And I love the way they framed the episode being like, you know, what would a season 7 look like and what was everyone's pitch? And there was some like, really funny ones, and there were some like, you know, not as funny ones, some dark ones, but then like it just kept getting more and more sentimental, like then really building to like Jeff, you know, thinking about coming home to Annie, right? And which as we've talked about with really a lot of the cast, you know, whether it's Joel or Gillian or Allison or Dan, just like they never really fully committed to those two as a couple or Brit and Jeff as a couple. And yet still, like, you really felt that at the end. And then when you get to the present, you know, not just Jeff imagining a different future, but I forgot Jeff and Andy kind of had such a moment there in the study room one last time before the rest of the group shows up. And then when they do show up, it's like, you know, we get the classic kind of like Jeff Winger speech to bring it home. And it like really hit. I think he's like, you know, you saved my life and changed it forever, which is like, you know, really, really hit home for me and felt like that had been earned throughout those six seasons.
I can totally agree.
And then it gets to, I know you especially enjoy, that's technically not the actual end of the show, because as I talked about with these tags, like they kept just getting weirder and weirder and more surreal and meta. And then, I mean, it can't, that none of that could have topped what they did here in the finale and what Dan Harmon specifically did. So, yeah. So kind of talk about that.
Well, I mean, the finale is sort of like, it's like Community in a nutshell, as this episode is in a little. It's like this family is playing a community board game where they there's like a snow globe joke, which is a joke about the St. Elsewhere finale. And then like they discover that, the game comes with like a tiny version of the finale script, and they realize that they were just created for a joke and they don't really exist. And as they sort of reckon with this existential crisis, Dan Harmon goes on this like voiceover, sort of the fine print of this game that reads as sort of like a self-critical meta, whatever you want to call it, just like on the entire show as a whole, where he's like, some episodes maybe too funny to be immersive, or too immersive to be funny, or too conceptual to be funny. Characters may get together and break up without any regard to the audience, and eventually comes down to like talking about himself as well, and it feels like very, again, on brand for the show. It's something I still think about.
Yeah, it manages to be very dark and very sweet at the same time. Yeah.
Fake commercial may end with disclaimer gag, which may descend into vain chucklery-esque rant by narcissistic creator. Creator may be unstable. Therapist may have told creator this is not how you make yourself a good person. Life may pass by while we ignore or mistreat those close to us. Those close to us may be those watching. Those people may want to know I love them, but I may be incapable of saying it. Contains pieces the size of a child's esophagus.
He's like, creator might not be able to say it, but he loves you all. Or something like that. And it's like, oh, wow. I don't know. Yeah, again, it's dark and sweet at the same time.
You can definitely say this about Community. They did so many things that other shows couldn't or wouldn't do. And like that just, they lived up to that to the end. Cause like, mm-hmm. I can't imagine any other show being able to end that way, or that would actually, or where that would feel natural or mm-hmm. make sense. And they did it, and it worked really well. Kind of going to our awards for the season as a whole. You know, this has come up a few times. And again, kind of our MVP of the season happens to be the guest that we had on for this episode. We have Gillian Jacobs, MVP. I mean, she was so great throughout the whole run. But I think here, we talked about it with her, the kind of the evolution of the character really reached new levels here.
I mean, I think as we touched on this too, sort of like with each season, Britta became sillier and more of a joke. And I think the thing that kept it from not working against the show is because of Gillian's performance. Even just stuff with like her parents, and it was episode 2, episode 3, where she steals the kid's bike and like rides off. It is just hilarious and like should like undercut that character significantly, but it doesn't.
They did such a great job in Gillian specifically with adapting that character and making her something very different. Because the Britta we meet in the pilot is definitely not the same Britta we have here in the finale. And that's for the best, because I don't know. I mean, you like that character early on, but there's not really like what's special about her. What's different than any other sitcom where the guy is pining after the beautiful, you know, girl. Then we've been doing our B student corner, and I feel like we've hit a lot of the big ones. And sometimes whoever we pick, it's just a coincidence what season we're talking about them in. But this one's kind of perfect for Garrett in season 6. Eric Charles Nielsen, who plays Garrett. Because I think it ends up being the penultimate episode.
Wedding videographer, yeah.
Yeah, where it's at Garrett's wedding. And it's just, he ends up, by the end, we realize that he's marrying his cousin. So that's a roller coaster in itself.
I like the fact that the show sort of like took his whole like proposal thing seriously in a way. Like, I mean, it's a joke. Like, I don't think, at least to me, I didn't feel like it was like making fun of him, you know?
I like that you said like the joke wasn't like necessarily on Garrett in that wedding episode, mm-hmm. because this is also someone that I think it was Troy once described him as, that guy's just a mess. It's like God spilled a person. Like, which is like such a great line, but the fact that like they would make that line about someone and then the joke wasn't just always on them, and that they got his happy ending, probably maybe a more of a happy ending than any other person on the show, even if it does mean marrying your cousin.
Will you be my legally incestuous wife?
Yes.
Everyone stay and eat cake or go to hell.
All right, Chance, we talked about our favorite episodes, but as in every episode, we've had Dan Harmon popping in to give the one he especially liked or one that stood out to him. So let's hear what he had to say for season six.
Season six. I will say, like, because I started binging after the G.I. Jeff, so I flowed into season six, and I just the one episode that I feel bad about is the first one, Ladders, where it's because me and McKenna were trying so hard to like service all of this stuff that when you watch the episode, you might think, what do you mean? Why were you trying to service anything? It's like, it's amazing the list of stuff that we were trying to accomplish. We felt this compelling need to justify why there would now be a support beam in the cafeteria. Because we had moved our stages to, we had started shooting at CBS Radford lot, and we were below Parks and Rec shooting in this basement. And so there was, now we were going to have this beam in the middle of the cafeteria. And we, Chris and I were just, we felt like we had to tell a story that justified it. And it turned out no one was ever going to care about that beam. But we did it with that very funny, like Frisbee cold open. But then that dovetails into this, it's in this crazy introduction for Paget Brewster's character. The amazing thing about that season is after that episode's done and Chris and I have finished doing this weird self-flagellating, like sweaty work of like kind of setting up the season it's like the next episode. And as I can't remember how far I watched, but just one after the other, I'm really proud of that season. I mean, you shouldn't have to say considering after a qualifier, but it is true that having lost almost half of our cast and replacing them, you know, so like we just hit the jackpot with Paget and Keith David. They were great new characters, great new actors, and the stories were really good. Like after that, I didn't get as far as basic RV repair and palmistry, which I remember being kind of the height of my insanity. That was I remember that was like definitely an example of writing pages and running them down to the set. And we had this misguided notion that we could shoot a fast, easy, under budget episode by setting it in a Winnebago. It was this incredibly naive instinct that like, well, we'll do even better than a bottle episode. The bottle will be really small, which makes it incredibly difficult because you have to saw a Winnebago in half and like be able to fly out wings of it to turn it into three different sets because you have to cover all the things in there. Like, you idiot. And then on top of that, it's like, well, yeah, you set it in a Winnebago outside the actual world, which is going to involve like drone shots of the thing driving on the road. Not to mention the fact that then I just decided one night that it was going to be this weird meta thing with Abed confronting his fear of nonlinear storytelling. I'm kind of scared to watch that one.
I mean, this really was a great binge. I'm glad we were able to watch the episodes, and I think people are going to really enjoy whether they're rewatching or watching for the first time. As we talked about in our very first episode, like the reason we did this is because we really feel like this is Community landing on Netflix, especially at this time, this weird time, is going to land a lot more buzz for the show, that the buzz that it hadn't had in a while, just because the way people are watching older shows, just you had to be on Netflix to really be in the conversation. And hopefully this catapults it up a level, and maybe we'll get that that second part of the hashtag. We'll get the movie after, since we now have gotten to six seasons. All right, well, that's all the time we have today. I'm not even going to try and replicate Dan Harmon's dark and emotional monologue in the sign-off of Community. So I'll just say thank you for watching with us and listening, watching Community, all of that.
Indulging us.
Yes, indulging us, exactly.
You've heard all our thoughts about how much you love this show. If you want to share yours, you can find me on Twitter at Chancellor Agard.
And me at Derek J. Lawrence. Well, that's a wrap on us and Community, but please stay subscribed to this podcast feed to see what the folks at EW binge next. Until then, class dismissed.